This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
Good morning, everyone. Such a privilege. I love baby dedications, the significance of it. The sad part is I feel as if I've just gotten to know Olivia very well at Kitty's Church. And Shireen, we had our first visit the other day, and now I hear that they are going on another adventure, but I know God is going to be with you in a very special way. For those of you who don't know me, I am Melissa LaRue, and it's my privilege to share the word this morning. So I want to say, if my eyes look a little red, I was at the airport until 10:30 last night. I arrived home just short after 11 after my flight being delayed, and I had a five-year-old with me, and he decided that he's not going to sleep. And how a five-year-old doesn't fall asleep at 10 o'clock at night is by running around. So excuse the blurry eyes. Let's pray. Lord God, I normally drag a wooden cross up and put it at the back here, Father. I can't find that cross, Father, but I know, Father, that you died for me on the cross. You died for us all. And you came and gave us life, Father, and you invited us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, Father. And Father, I know that you are calling our church into a season of new wine, Lord God, and a season that requires new wineskins, Father. So I pray this morning, Father, for new wineskins. I pray that you would show us, Lord God, a way, Lord God, a kingdom way, Lord, to pursue this life, Father, to pursue you wholeheartedly and bow our knee before you in every aspect of our lives, so that many may come to salvation, so that your kingdom can be evident, Father, in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. So, for many of you, a year ago we went into lockdown, and I was Kitty's ministry administrator at that stage. And children are a very big passion of mine, therefore the dedications are very special. And I realized that our children can't YouTube, our children can't Zoom, so our children are going to go home, and our children are going to not necessarily remember or know or be reminded that they belong to the body of Christ. And with that reason, I started a WhatsApp group in faith, and I started making videos because my heart's desire was that our children would remember, even though they're not here every Sunday, that they're part of something, that they're part of something big and awesome. I prayed and asked God what to talk about with the children, and the concept that came up was the kingdom of God. And when God laid it on my heart, I was like, okay, that's easy. There's a few parables. How hard can it be? And then I started. Every night I would go, my children would go to bed, and then I'd spend about 2-3 hours saying, God, what must I teach the children about the kingdom of God? And I'd start reading, and I'd start reading, and I'd start listening to these amazing teachers. And I just realized that every time I thought I had it, there was more to learn and more to learn. I thought I'd humble myself and show you the very first video that I made. Yolanda, is it going to play? You're allowed to laugh. It's 100%.
Boys and girls, what are you doing here? I thought I was all alone in the forest. You must probably be wondering what I'm doing. I'm looking for the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says I must do. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. But now I'm in the bushes here, and I'm trying to find it, because it must be somewhere, and it must be very special, because there's another story that says it's like the biggest prize you can find is to find the kingdom of God. But I haven't found it. Is it perhaps at your house? Is it your house? No? Oh, dear. Okay, boys and girls. So now I've thought a little bit about it, and I was... I was watching Dora the Explorer tonight with my children, and it was quite exciting. She and her family are explorers, and her parents went to find the city of gold, and they didn't want to take her with because they said she's too little. But guess what? At the end of the day, she had to go save her mom and dad because she was smarter than what they thought. I think you're also smarter than what your parents think. But let's not get off the point. I really need your help. We need to find out what this kingdom of God is. So I've got a job for you. You find out, your moms and dads know a lot. You find out what you can from them, and you draw me a picture of what you think the kingdom of God is. And then maybe by tomorrow I've found it, or you can teach me, and we can see if we can find this kingdom of God. Will we do that? Will you help me? I'd really appreciate it. Okay, but I'm going to carry on looking. Maybe I'll find it before you do. Okay, cheers, guys.
Oh, dear. So as you can imagine, I got a few concerned phone calls the next day from my friends going, in what forest were you? But it was my husband's hunting gear in between a poor plant of mine that was in my house. And it's recovered since, thankfully, and a blanket over my head. And their journey started that I thought was for the children. And it ended up being me becoming Dora the Explorer for the following few weeks of lockdown. And what stood out is, as I went on this discovery, as I dug into each parable and went, God, what does it mean? And how do I put it in a way so that a child might understand it and want it? I started seeing the kingdom of God in my household. I started seeing it when I went to the street people and we fed them, when I went into Delft. And I started seeing that the kingdom of God is everywhere. It was so amazing. This week I started reading Acts, a book in the Bible that intimidates me a whole lot more than what Revelations does, because of the way of life it encourages us to have or tells us to have. And there too it says that in Acts 1:3, to whom he also presented himself alive. So Jesus presented himself to his apostles, to his disciples, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining the kingdom of God. Jesus came back for only 40 days, and the thing he spoke about was the kingdom of God. A worthwhile topic, I should imagine. So as I discovered Dora the Explorer, this scripture of Matthew 6:33 came alive. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I literally felt in that time of COVID, that time of lockdown, you can ask my husband, the most unbelievable joy, the most unbelievable peace, because this scripture became alive to me as I literally was forced to seek the kingdom of God. So, none of us live in a kingdom, democracies and capitalism and all things like that, we know. But what is a kingdom? This is now me taking all the different definitions I could find, and this is what I came up with. A place ruled by a king. So in a kingdom, there's a king. A place where everyone is submitted under the rule of one king. So there's submission. And a place where there's a common identity and connection due to the shared submission to the king. I spoke a little while ago that we have a father. Our father is that king. And as I was sitting there, I also thought, we actually, as submissive as what we are, we take up a place in this kingdom of authority. We take up a place of ruling with, that comes from a place of understanding that we submit under this king. So how do we enter this kingdom? Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I love that verse. Salvation. In a moment we are made righteous. I'm undone by that amazing miracle that God can do, where you can feel so free, so clean. But we forget that part that says, Jesus as Lord. There's a place where we enter the kingdom by accepting the power of that cross that I normally have up and saying, thank you, Jesus, that you have made me righteous, that you have washed me clean by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus dying in my place. But then there's a place of understanding the lordship of Jesus. If we don't understand that Jesus is Lord, we forget that the process of entering the kingdom of God is one of justification. I've said yes to Jesus. I confess him. But then there's a process of sanctification that comes at a great cost. Sanctification being a process of holy making. So beautiful when listening to John Piper. He says, describes it so well, but we forget that sanctification is a process that requires faith and grace. It's a process of saying, this world and all its heartache and pain is possibly there so that I can continually choose between heaven and hell, life and death. We are in a process of sanctification when we bow our knee and accept Jesus as Lord. Matthew 13, 47 to 50 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A dragnet, or those massive nets they used to throw into the water and literally drag the fish. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. There's something alluring about it. It's something when you see the kingdom of God coming in someone's life, you're like, oh, I want that. I want to be around that person. But that dragnet swoops up a lot of people. But then the scripture says when they throw it out, there's good fish and there's bad fish. There's stuff that shouldn't have been caught up. There's stuff that's not there to be taken to the kingdom of God. It's going to be sorted out. The Israelites, the Jewish people, missed it. They also were expecting a Messiah, a Savior. And according to their needs and what they perceived in their day and age, they were looking for a very specific Savior. A Savior that would come on a horse, that would chop off heads and create order and throw the Roman Empire over, because that's what they, according to themselves, thought they needed. They missed it. When preparing my slideshow, I was looking up The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you, have watched it. And I wanted to put up a picture of the image of Jesus on that cross. And I sat there, I thought, Lord, there's going to be children here. I can't do that. It was rough, and they said it was rougher than what that picture depicted. They missed it because they didn't expect a bloody mess on a cross. And they definitely didn't expect him to stand up and then go to heaven and leave again. Scripture like, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Us, as Christians, we look at this and we go, oh, that describes Jesus. But they saw a warrior, somebody that would come and sit on a throne. We need to guard against making the same mistake. We need to guard against making a Jesus that fits into our paradigm, into what we need. We need to understand that this King, this Jesus, is not here to fill our picture. He is who he is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. We must not miss what the parables teach. Very simply, each parable can be delved into to great measure. But the parable that says the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure, that the man gives up everything he owns to go and buy it. Or like the pearl of great price, that he does the same thing. There's a giving up of everything. The kingdom of God is so valuable that losing everything on earth but getting the kingdom of God is a happy trade-off. And it'll come at a huge personal expense. That's what the word of God says. You cannot have the kingdom of God if you do not make a huge personal sacrifice. It's compared to a household of treasures. It says the old and the new. The man takes out his old treasures, his new treasures, all of it. What God has promised in the Old Testament and the New Testament paints us a picture of this precious, precious treasure. The kingdom of God is compared to yeast. Just a little bit infects the whole bunch. Everything is affected by it that it touches. Or the mustard seed that's so small but has this massive tree hidden in it. The kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God might seem small and insignificant, but the impact and the influence is far-reaching beyond our wildest imagination. It's sprouting seed. We know that story. Seed is thrown. Some of it lands on rocks. Some of it lands in soil with weeds, and some of it lands on good soil, and you know that story. The other one is that of the dragnet. A lot of things get scooped up, and everyone gets excited about the kingdom. But some will just be swept up, and some will be cast out. That's a scary thought. So the worthwhile question to ask those you love in a community of believers is, do you live as if the kingdom of God is your greatest treasure? Do you live a life where every square of your life, your knee is bowed to Jesus? And do we ask each other that? Do I love you enough? I'm asking myself the same question. So when I glance into someone's life to say, my dear friend, is the way you're using your finances anything to do with the kingdom of God? Is the way you're raising your children have anything to do with the kingdom of God? I should see the kingdom of God and a child of the living God in every sphere of your life. Be comforted that we are being sanctified. And the Spirit of God is faithful. But we have been placed amongst each other so that we do not get cast off, that we can remind each other that there is a treasure that is worth your life. So, last week, yes, Sunday, we found out that a very dear man passed away. And it's a man I didn't personally know very well, but him and his family had a massive impact on my life. Up there, ooh, feeling quite emotional. My Herkie and Tani Karin were an older couple. They had children our age when I was at varsity. Their children served Jesus with us. And they just lived amongst us. And if I think now how I dream and pray for my family, so much is defined by what their example was in our lives. Wim Herke and Tony Cora, neither of them were in full-time ministry, poured their lives into us. He preached occasionally. She was part of a human trafficking NGO that helped people have their lives restored. And those are the things I saw. They and their children served Jesus. And there was something about it that was so alluring. There was something of it that spoke to me about the kingdom of God, a life of sacrifice. But then when thinking I want to speak about them, I contacted the people that really knew them, the Magriets and the Heinrich, that sat around their table. And the things that they said, and that takes me back to those insignificant things of the kingdom of God, was what they said about Herke and Tani Karin's household is that anyone was welcome. Didn't matter who you were accepted. There was always place for you at their table. I'm sure that wasn't easy in a house where you had 4 students at varsity and each one of them brought their cell groups and their everything home. Heinrich says Herke did 2 things that stood out for me of all the things he said. He said, he sat there and you never walked past without him saying genuinely, how are you? How are you really doing? And he expected an answer. So simple. The other thing he said is if you went to Herke for advice, he didn't babble off his own wisdoms. He said, Heinrich, what does the Bible say? Let's look. He had a love for the Word of God. These people took a whole generation of students and they created a picture of the kingdom of God. They created a picture that said, in the midst of this chaotic world, there are these little pockets of peace and joy and righteousness. These are these places where the peace of God prevails, but also in the times of difficulty that Magriet and Heinrich would say they also went through. They stayed unbelievably faithful. They spoke about Jesus without being fake. Jesus was on their lips. They abided in him. Their household abided in the presence of God. The house was a place where the presence of God was cultivated and cherished. And over the 20-odd years that I have heard about them from so many people, their passion for the kingdom of God only grew. So, there's much to be said about them. And when Herke passed away, we realized that though there was a taste, Ross always says, a foretaste of the kingdom of God in their home, his passing away made us realize that the kingdom of God in its fullness still needs to come. And that we can live with a deep, deep passion and excitement for that day. When Magriet told me of his passing, I can honestly say my first thought was, how must the angels and the people in heaven have rejoiced at his return or his entry into the eternity? Because he now knows, and we will all see to the greater measure, that Revelations is our hope and is our eternal hope that makes this kingdom so precious. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. The presence of God that we so often see in little bits in people's lives as the Spirit manifests and God's love is in people's lives, we will see in totality. He will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Our stories that we shared in our home groups over the last, or life groups over the last while, spoke of a faithful God. I didn't hear one story out of anybody's mouth of an unfaithful God. And here he says, he is faithful. And this is the kingdom that we are moving towards, that we have tastes of while we are on earth. Herki, he was a gynecologist, he was a father, he ministered in church. And every sway of his life, there was something of this kingdom represented. I know people in our church like that. When people go through crisis, you want to get to Karin Solje. You want to get to Christine Kutsia. There are people, there are so many as I sit here looking at you, because they love the presence of God and their knee is bowed. There's something so alluring about those people. We can all be those people. So there's a picture of Meghan, Harry, and Oprah. Today, picture of a kingdom represented there. Funny. How God showed me that in this room, there are Harrys, there are Meghans, there are Oprahs, and there are Umaharkis. For the Harrys in our midst, you've almost been born into this kingdom. You know nothing else, and you are at a crossroads. You're here to decide, are you in or are you out? We can't have half a foot in the kingdom of God. That's not how it works. Are you willing to pay the great price of a life of sacrifice? I ask myself the same question. Then we've got Meghan. We've got Meghan's here. And Meghan's story is she came to this kingdom of God because she saw the Sonnenbergs and she saw Karin Solje and she saw these people. She said, I want that. That looks great. It's going to be good for me. And then the reality was that you can't be in the kingdom of God at no cost to yourself. You actually have to step up and walk out this road. Accept the paparazzi, accept the judgment and the critical fingers wagging. And you need to stand because you represent a king that's perfect. In her case, maybe argue that the queen she represents is just a human. But in our kingdom, when you stand there, you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's no doing that half measure. And then we've got Oprahs in the house. You're often sitting and watching these kingdom people, and you're disillusioned. They look confused. They look half in it and half out of it. It makes you angry and it makes you sad. And to a large degree, it makes you want to have nothing to do with this kingdom of God. But the invitation to you is that you can wholeheartedly step into this kingdom. And I can give you a letter. You are going to fall short. But there will be grace. And there will be a community to tell you, are you seeking the kingdom of God? Are you bowing your knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ? And then one day when Jesus comes and he takes up his throne, you will enter into the kingdom where there's no more crying, there's no more heartache, and there's an eternal promise. And then for the Umaharkis here, I want to encourage you. Umaharki has no idea. Sorry, I don't know why I always cry when I get up here. He's got no idea what an impact he had on my life. But he lived the kingdom of God, and I model my very livelihood on how he represented Jesus. My hope, and we've sat around tables with many people and said, if that is what we can have in our lives, a God-fearing home where the broken come and get healed. Where there's hope in the midst of darkness, where there's peace, where there's chaos like COVID. That's what I want. And he has no idea. So the encouragement I have to the Oomharkies, the Tanikorans in this household, is persevere. Don't grow weary. Those insignificant moments when a person walks into your house and you look them in the eye and you say, how are you doing? And you sincerely mean it. Changes lives. So for those of you who don't know, we're very excited. We are trusting God. I said at the beginning while praying that God is going to give us new wineskins for new wine. Can't put new wine in old wineskins. It doesn't hold it. Cracks, it bursts, the wine goes to waste. And in our, what we used to use call cell groups, and now we're going to call life groups, because that's, if you think about these people that serve Jesus fervently, there's life. We want to learn and cultivate in our community the discipline, the desire, and the fruit of weekly, not coming to look in each other's eyes and look for answers and affirmation from one another, but to say, the word of God, my Bible's lying there, I like having it with me, this is how God speaks to me primarily. Let's worship together. Let's together put our eyes on Jesus. And let's expect the kingdom of God to come in our midst. How we plan on doing it is taking simple methods, questions, and taking scripture, the word of God, and sitting around it. And not going, oh, this one's more spiritual than me and has a greater revelation. No, we all have the Spirit of God in us. And I want to go, and we're going to look, and we're going to take that scripture, and we're going to go, we're going to look back. And we're going to say, okay, Melissa's given me, you can put on the Revelations scripture for me, please, again, Yolanda. We're going to look at a scripture like this, and we're going to say, example, we were at church on Sunday, we look back. What was my perception of the kingdom of God before I walked into church on Sunday? Talk about it. Then we're going to go, ooh, I'm losing my space. Then we're going to look into the word, and we're going to look into a scripture like Revelations. We're going to read it. We're going to listen. We're going to listen to different people reading it to us. And we're going to say, what part of scripture jumps out? When you read that scripture, you are on a journey of sanctification, and God is busy with different aspects of his character and your sanctification. So when you look at that scripture, you see something else to what I see that matters. And we're going to listen to what stands out for you in Revelations. And then we're going to look forward and we're going to say, I was at church. I've come to home group. I can go home and be unchanged, but let's not. Let's make our time meaningful. Let's transform. Let's be sanctified. Look forward. Lord, how has this scripture, perhaps something Melissa said on Sunday, changed my life? How is it going to change my life? What am I going to do to commit to making this truth part of my life? So, we're going to put on some music, or maybe the worship team can come forward. But I'd like you, as an activity while listening to that, to ask those questions. Look back. What was your picture of the kingdom of God? Maybe it was exactly what I said and you're going, yay. Look into the word. What stands out to you in the season that you're in? And then look forward. What am I going to do? What aspect of my life have I not surrendered? What part of me rejoices? What do I rejoice most about in the scripture when it says there will be no more death? Or is it no more crying? And then you talk about what will come. You are welcome to sit on your own while the worship team is busy playing and think through those three questions. Or you can turn to one another and quickly talk through those questions. But while they are busy, I want to invite you, if there's anyone here that's looking at this and going, Lord, I want to be part of that kingdom of God. Come pray with me. I'd love to pray with you. Come forward. There are some of you that just need to do business with God, and you go, God, I'm not submitted. I'm not in a process of sanctification. Not every area of my life, my knee's not bowed. Come bow your knee. Bow it there, bow it here. Get someone to pray with you. And let's trust that the kingdom of God will come to us in this community in its fullness. And so also that the aroma and the fragrance of the kingdom of God will draw many to salvation. Let's just quickly pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you for the wonderful invitation to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, the kingdom of God Almighty. Thank you for the taste, the foretaste that we have in so many aspects of our own lives, Lord God, but also in the lives of others, Lord God, that make us hungry for more of your kingdom, more of your presence. I pray, Lord God, as we reflect on this verse, that you will not just make it another moment of doing something administrative, Father, but that we would allow it to transform our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.